Welcome to the audio podcast of North River Church. You can find out more about North River and ways you can be involved at our website, gonorthriver.org.
I invite you to grab your copy of God's Word this morning. Turn with me once again to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 is where we're going to spend our time this morning. We've been walking through this series, through the book of Ecclesiastes, called The Meaning of Life. And this week, we are only 2 weeks away from being done with the book. So give yourself a pat on the back, church. You have walked through one of the most difficult, it can be one of the most depressing books of the Bible. But I hope for you that it's been an encouragement to you. It has been for me as I've walked through it. And so this morning we find ourselves in Ecclesiastes chapter 11. The message is entitled, Living with Certainty When Life is Uncertain. Have you ever stopped for just a moment and thought about just how uncertain life can be? Remember about 4 years ago, I had gone in for a routine physical, which I've come to find out is not recommended these days. Just don't go and you won't find out what's wrong with you, right? Just don't worry about that. No, just kidding. So I went in and got blood work done, all that, and the doctor says, you know, you've got some high levels of something. I'm not sure what it was. He said, we need to do this ultrasound to find out what's going on. So does an ultrasound and calls me back a couple of days later and says, you know, it really doesn't look good. And there's this spot on your liver and it doesn't look good. And now before that, I had no thought whatsoever about my liver. Never even thought about it. Didn't cross my mind that something may be wrong or anything like that. So go through. Anyway, turns out everything's fine. All right. Nothing's wrong with me for the most part. My wife may object to that. But here's the thing. All it takes is one phone call, one doctor's appointment. All it takes is one car wreck, one split second. And life changes forever. So how do we, as God's people, knowing that life can be uncertain like that, how do we live a meaningful life when that's the reality that we face? Solomon this morning is going to give us the answer to that question. I want you to notice, beginning in verse 1 of Ecclesiastes chapter 11, I want to read for us these 10 verses, and then I want us to walk back through them and to unpack them together this morning. This is what Solomon writes, "Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a portion to 7 or 8, for you know not what disaster may happen on the earth. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth. And if a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it will lie. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. As you do not know the way, the spirit comes to the bones in the womb of a woman with a child. So you do not know the work of God who makes everything. In the mornings, sow your seed. And at evening, withhold not your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, this or that, or whether both alike will be good. Light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all. But let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. All that comes is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth. And let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these things God will bring you into judgment. Remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body. For youth and the dawn of life are vanity." Father, we ask this morning that as we open your word together, you would open our eyes that we would be able to see. You would open our ears that we would be able to hear, and that you would open our hearts and our minds that we would be ready to respond to your word and to your spirit this morning. We ask that in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Amen. Now, It's been said there's only two guarantees in life, two things that you can count on. Church, do you know what those are? Death and taxes, right? Can I just insert, for the sake of the text this morning, one more? Is that okay? Can we do that this morning? Death, taxes, and Jesus loves you and gave his life for you, okay? All right, can we insert that one in there? That is a guarantee that Jesus Christ loves you so much that he laid his life down for you so that you could have a relationship with your Heavenly Father. That's the purpose for which you were created. And as we've walked our way through Solomon's book here, we've realized that Solomon would say the greatest meaning in life that any of us could find is in a relationship with our Creator. As we look at the text this morning, Solomon does a couple of things for us, and I hope we'll be able to grasp those as we walk through the text. I want to do something just a tad bit different. I want to walk through the entire text and then go back and look at some points of application as we think about the text in its entirety. And so, as you look at verse 1, Solomon writes, "Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days." Church, I read that this week, and it popped in my head as a child. There was a lake not far from our house that we would go to. It's called Lake Loretta, and you would go and feed the ducks. And so in my mind, as I'm reading this, that pops in my head, and I'm thinking, when I cast the bread in, the ducks eat it. It doesn't come back, right? I'm thinking, what is Solomon talking about here? I don't understand that. But if you put it in the context of what Solomon's talking about, maybe this will give you a little more insight into it this morning. Solomon is describing a situation where trading was taking place between the nation of Israel and other surrounding nations, to which they would put some type of good on a ship, and they would send that ship off, and then it would return either with money or it would return with some type of good that was in compensation for what they sent off. So when he says here, cast your bread upon the waters, what he's saying is, as trading is taking place, you have to send out your ships with goods on them, and you have to wait for a while. It's not automatic, but eventually they're going to come back with either money paying for the goods or with some other type of good that's going to come back to you. In light of that, he says in verse 2, give a portion to seven or even to eight, for you know not what disaster may happen on the earth. In investing, they talk about this issue of diversification. That's what Solomon is saying here. He's saying you spread out what you're sending out. So for some reason, if a storm comes and the ship crashes, at least you've split out your goods so that all of them don't perish in the storm. That's what Solomon's describing here. Some of you are thinking already, all right, are we talking about investing this morning? I mean, what's going on? Yes, but we're going to talk about it less in terms of money and more in terms of our lives. How are we investing our lives for kingdom fruitfulness? How are we bringing honor and glory to the Lord in the lives that we live? I want you to notice it changes here in verse 3. So Solomon describes that in verses 1 and 2, but he says in verse 3, if the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth. We understand that in this area in which we live, right? I love this next part, though, because I told Pastor Scott this week, I said, this is kind of like the Yoda verse. He says, if a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it will lie. You're like, I see it. Yep. I'm sitting here and I'm reading this and I'm thinking, well, I mean, that's kind of self-explanatory, right? I mean, if the tree falls, it sits where it falls, right? But listen to verse 4, because it puts it all into context for us. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. Now we see where Solomon's going with what he just described in verse 3. Verses 1 and 2, he's talking about ships sending off goods, and they'll come back with either money or other goods. But here he describes someone who is farming, and he says that They're hesitant about what they're about to do. They're hesitant to sow the seed. They're hesitant to reap the harvest because they're looking around trying to figure out, when is the wind going to blow? And if I go out and I try to do this harvest time, is a tree going to fall on me? Or if I go out and I try to sow seed and the wind's blowing, if I throw it up in the air to try to sow it, maybe it doesn't go where it's supposed to go. Or, as he describes here, he's looking and saying, you know, I think it may rain today, so I just won't go to work. It's kind of like what happens at church, right? It's going to rain. Can't go to church. No, I'm just kidding. But have you ever found yourself in that position? Not doing possibly what God's called you to do in your life, not investing yourself for His kingdom because you're kind of constantly looking around just wondering what may happen. If I have this conversation with a person, what if they don't like me anymore? If I actually sign up to be a part of a life group, what if there's weird people in there? If you show up, right, there's going to be weird people there, right? It's just part of it. What are we lacking? What are we failing to do that God's called us to do that we're looking around trying to figure out, I just don't know if I'm supposed to do this right now. We ask people sometimes to serve, and they're like, Pastor, I just don't know that I can serve. And we don't want you to serve because you are obligated, but listen, there's a lot of times when we have an opportunity to serve, when maybe it's uncomfortable, maybe we don't like it, but God's called us to do that. Solomon's describing here a situation in which someone is looking around. Instead of investing themselves in what they're called to do, they're trying to figure out what's going on around them. They're more focused on what's outside than the task that God has given them to do. And we're going to come back to that in just a little bit, but as we look at verse 5, this is where we recognize and begin to understand this idea of uncertainty. Solomon writes, "As you do not know the way the spirit comes to the bones in the womb of a woman with child, so you do not know the work of God who makes everything." None of us can explain how it is that a baby forms in a mother's womb. Some of you think you're scientific enough. You think, yeah, Michael, I got a pretty good idea, right? I can kind of give you the, yeah, but let's just be honest. None of us can fully explain what the psalmist describes as God knitting together a baby in a womb. Solomon describes that here, and he says this is the uncertainty that he's talking about. Certainly, he looks and says the wind is uncertain. Certainly, he says it's uncertain whether the clouds are going to dump rain or not. And he says here that it's uncertain how the Lord works in this way of a baby forming in the womb of a woman with child. But then it expands beyond that, and we have to be honest with ourselves and recognize that there's a lot that goes on in this world that we can't explain. Let's just make it personal for a second. There's a lot that goes on in our own lives that we can't explain. And yet we look and we recognize and we realize that God is in charge of all that is going on. God is sovereign over every molecule in the universe. God is shaping and forming what's going on in this world, what's going on in our lives. And as we look, we recognize that if we're honest with ourselves, every single second of our lives is uncertain. You don't know what driving home today may entail. You don't know what Monday may entail at your job. You don't know that after you go to the doctor on Tuesday that something's going to happen. You don't know when that phone call rings what may transpire. And that's what Solomon is reminding us of in verse 5. So how do we respond to that? Knowing that life is uncertain, knowing that we can't have guarantees, how do we live then fruitful lives for Christ in this world? Solomon says in verse 6, "In the morning, sow your seed. And at evening, withhold not your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, this or that, or whether both alike will be good. Tendency may be to look and say, since I can't figure it out, just won't do anything. Solomon says, no, that's not the answer. Sow your seed. Be ready with hands open to receive the harvest, because you have no clue, no idea what's going to happen. Verse 7, light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all, but let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. All that comes is vanity. Isn't that just so Solomon? Enjoy life as long as you can live it, but don't forget, there's going to be bad times. And in the end, it's all vanity. You're like, Solomon, I mean, we were moving in a direction, and then you kind of just put a damper on it. Verse 9, rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. We're going to talk a lot more next week in the first 8 verses of chapter 12 about youth and following the Lord in our youth. You may be here this morning, and you tend to think, you know, that doesn't apply to me. I'm not young. Let me just remind you, you are younger in this moment right now than you will be tomorrow. So lest you say, I'm not young, you're younger right now than you will be tomorrow. So you might as well take the admonition that Solomon gives here to those who are young and implement it in your own life so that you can at least look back from tomorrow to today and say, I was young yesterday. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. And it looks like there Solomon may be doing something where he's kind of contrasting two things. I mean, it almost sounds like he's saying here, follow your heart, whatever your eyes see, just take advantage of that. And then he says, but just recognize God's going to judge you for that. But we remember as we look back in Ecclesiastes that Solomon's already addressed that. And what he's reminding us is that in our youth, whether that's today versus tomorrow, or whether that's we are younger in age, we have an opportunity to make our youth count for Christ. We have an opportunity to make our youth count for the mission that God has called us to. Notice verse 10. Remove vexation from your heart, or angst or worry from your heart, and put away pain from your body, for youth and the dawn of life are vanity. Now, I want us to look at this text from this perspective. And if you're taking notes this morning, this is what I want you to write down. This is the main idea I believe that Solomon's trying to communicate in the text this morning. And as we unpack it a little bit more, I hope you'll be able to see that. The main idea is life is uncertain, but we can experience kingdom fruitfulness by living a life dependent on Jesus. We can experience a fruitful life if we live our lives dependent on the Lord. The question is not whether life is uncertain. In fact, Solomon has unpacked for us over the last number of weeks together that life is incredibly uncertain. And in light of that, there's three ways that we can respond to life being uncertain. If you're taking notes, here's the first. Living with uncertainty can lead to despair. Living with uncertainty can lead to despair. We see a glimpse of that somewhat in Solomon's words to us here. Sometimes we may in fact feel that way. We may in fact feel that because life is uncertain, we just grow discouraged, we grow depressed, we grow just, what's the point of it? I mean, what's the point of life? I mean, if you look through this and you say, I mean, you really don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I mean, you may have this conversation in your head that's going around. And you say, I mean, is it really worth exercising today when I'm going to die anyway? Right? I mean, is it worth it? And of course, the answer is eat a donut and then exercise, right? No, just kidding. Of course, the answer is exercise. Take care of your body. It's the temple of the Lord, right? But here's the thing. If we just look at the uncertainty of life, we can very easily despair our lives. We can very easily just walk through life discouraged. We can walk through life just looking and going, I mean, what's the point? I mean, what's the point of going to work if I could get fired tomorrow? I mean, what's the point of trying to raise kids to follow the Lord if when they grow up, they don't follow the Lord? They have that option. What's the purpose of taking care of myself physically if, in fact, I'm going to die anyway? You can walk through life with that mentality. You can walk through life that way even as a believer. You be a follower of Jesus here this morning, and for you, life has a pessimistic outlook where you just look at life and all you see are the negatives. Everything is negative. You're negative about people. You're negative about the world in which we live. You're negative about the circumstances you find yourself in. You're negative about your family. You're negative about your spouse. You're negative about your kids. And you just say, I just don't care anymore. Just despair. Discouragement. Depressed. But yet we look, and Solomon doesn't give us that out. Solomon doesn't look and say to us in the text this morning, you send out your ships, and if they don't come back, what are you going to do? Because that's the chance that Solomon describes here. He says, listen, you take some precautions. You try to split it up among 7 or 8 different ships as you send them out, but you don't sit back on the shore and say, I'm just going to keep my ships in the harbor because I don't know what's going to happen. You don't look at your life and say, I'm not going to invest myself in what God has called me to do because I don't know how people are going to respond. So I'm just going to fold my arms and just sit back. Discouraged. Depressed. Despairing even of life itself. What's the purpose? What's the point? But Solomon doesn't give us that option. He says, no, we continue to do what God has called us to do. We continue to invest in His purposes and His plans for our life. So we could respond very easily with despair or discouragement or being depressed about the uncertainty of life. Here's the other option. Number two, living with uncertainty can lead to anxiety. I find myself in number two. How uncertain life is can lead to fear and anxiety. Not sure what's going to happen, so you don't take the step. Or you wring your hands, just constantly uncertain of what's going to happen. You know, it's really funny. Let me just share this with you, and this is being completely transparent as I can as a pastor with you in this moment. There are times I go to bed on Saturday nights, and this thought runs through my head, nobody's going to show up tomorrow. I'm just being honest with you. There's moments when I go, I just don't know. They may not come back tomorrow. Some of you are like, oh, I feel bad for him. So show up on Sunday, right? But there's times when I think, because it's uncertain, like I don't know what's going on in your life and I don't know if you're going to show up or not. I look and you just wonder. And then you look, and let me just be honest with you, even more transparent. When the counters come in to count the money on Monday, there's times I look and go, I bet nobody gave anything. I mean, I'm just being honest with you. There's moments where I look and I worry about those things and I think about those things. And if I'm not careful, my entire focus will be on the uncertainty of the moment. And I'll miss what God's called me to do. Let me just encourage you with this. If two people show up, let's pray and let's hope that I've prepared the same way as if 1,000 show up. Because God has called me not to be focused on what's uncertain, but God has called me to be focused on what He's called me to do. God's called me to preach God's word in such a way that hopefully we can take it and apply it to our lives and we can leave more encouraged walking with the Lord than when we came in the door. But let me just ask this question. What is that for you? What has God called you to do that because of the uncertain nature of it, you, instead of doing it, just live in fear all the time? Live in anxiety all the time, constantly wringing your hands, wondering what is going to happen. It's interesting, at the end in verse 10, Solomon says, "Remove vexation from your heart." I don't know if you know this or not, but fear and anxiety, if you give it an opportunity, will root down in your life to the degree that you will not be able to function for the Lord. And yet, God's not called us to allow fear and anxiety to drive the way in which we follow Him. So those two options are on the table. Live with uncertainty and go just to despair, or go to anxiety, or what Solomon describes here, living with uncertainty can lead to fruitfulness. The uncertain nature of life can lead to fruitfulness. You say, "Michael, how does that happen?" If life is uncertain, we have to, at some point, find something or someone who is certain. I want you to hear this morning. There is one person in this life that we have certainty about, and His name is Jesus. We have certainty that God loves us so much that He sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins. We could not pay the debt that we owed because of our sin, but Jesus paid it for us and invites us by faith to trust in what He's accomplished for us on the cross, that brings us into a relationship with our Heavenly Father, listen, and leads to fruitful lives for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So in a world where life is uncertain, in a world where we don't know what the next day may bring, here's the hope that we have, church. We know who holds the next day in their hands. God does. And so if you're here this morning and your tendency is to trend towards despair or to trend towards anxiety like I do, can I just encourage us this morning? Don't let the uncertain nature of life be what drives you. Let the certain nature of what Jesus Christ has accomplished for you drive you into uncertainty. He is the anchor that holds. We can fix our lives on Him confidently, that regardless of what may come, regardless of what uncertainty we may face, He will walk with us and guide us and give us the strength to do what He's called us to do. Solomon looks and he says, instead of allowing despair to drive you, instead of allowing anxiety to drive you, allow the promise that Christ can be our certain fixture, our anchor in life, and that He will give us the strength to do what He's called us to do. Let that drive you. And when that drives you, the funny thing happens. You're less concerned about what's uncertain, and you're more concerned about who is certain. That's what happened with Peter when he went to walk on water. Remember the story? Jesus calls Peter out of the boat. Jesus is walking on the water. I love Peter's boldness because Peter doesn't say, no, I'm not interested in walking on water. Peter says, I'm coming. He steps out of the boat, begins to walk on water, and then what happens? The uncertain nature of the waves around him causes him to take his eyes off Jesus. And what happens then? He begins to sink. And I wish for just a moment Jesus would have just paused as he's sinking and said, "You're an idiot." Now, I wish that would happen because that would make me feel better. But here's what Jesus does. Jesus reaches his hand out to Peter and pulls him back on top of the water and says to him, "Why'd you take your eyes off me?" Let me ask you this morning, why would you take your eyes off the one who holds the future in his hands? Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth that it proclaims. We're thankful, Lord, this morning that it pierces our hearts and it reminds us of the tendency that we have to trend towards despair or to anxiety and fear. And yet, we're confident this morning, Lord, that if we will focus our eyes on you, it doesn't matter what life brings. You are in control. And in light of that, you've called us in an uncertain life to be fruitful for your kingdom, to do what you've called us to do. And so, Father, this morning for us that are here, maybe there's some who have never taken that step of trusting in Jesus as their Lord and Savior, have never at any point reached out their hand and grabbed His hand, placed their faith and trust in what He's accomplished for them on the cross. Father, would you give them the strength and the courage to do that this morning? Father, for those of us here that our tendency in an uncertain life is to trend towards despair or discouragement or towards anxiety or fear, would you gently this morning remind us that all we have to do is reach out our hand to the one who holds it all in his hands. And in light of that, that we would live lives not focused on what's uncertain, but focused on the one who is certain and who's called us to make an impact in this world in which we live. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.